God. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, as we come to the end of this series on Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, Lord, help us to remember these words. To remember that you have given us your presence, your promise, and your power. That you encourage us to know your might, to know your strength, and therefore to put on the full armor of God daily. Lord, may we do this discipline. It's so simple, and yet it has tremendous power. May we put on all of these important things, because sometimes we forget we're soldiers. And there's a battle raging. And you have given us both defensive and offensive weapons. Lord, my prayer today is that we would leave here knowing that we stand in your might, that we have the victory. But Lord, that we would be disciples and disciplined in such a way that we put on the armor daily. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, we've been working through the letter of St. Paul to the church at Ephesus, a church which he cared for, a church which, when he sent this letter that he sent out to this particular church, ended up going around and becoming kind of a universal letter, meaning it went to all of the churches. A lot of the stuff that we hear in this letter, we hear in different ways throughout Paul's letters, but we also hear in the early church because it had such a profound impact. For example, it's in the letter to the Ephesians that Paul talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, about equipping the saints for ministry, about all these important things that we now use as we go through our life. But as he closes off this letter, and when you hear these words, these are words, I have to be honest with you, if I were to take the Bible that I had in Bible school, which is many, many, many years ago now, we've been married 25, so that means it was like 4 years before that I was in Bible school, so almost 30 years ago, it was a different translation of the Bible, and I had this professor who impressed upon me the importance of circling and underlining and highlighting, you know, in the old days before electronics. Now I do it electronically and it's a lot better because it doesn't actually wreck the pages. I don't know if you ever had a highlighter that went through, you know. I had some of those. They said, oh, you should get different colors. So I got blue. And blue went right through the pages into the next page. It was really bad. But anyways, those are the old days. Now everything's electronic. But I couldn't read this portion of Scripture because there's so many things in here that I had underlined and highlighted and circled, and, you know, I couldn't read it anymore. I had to get a new Bible so I could read the Bible. That makes sense? Because there's so much in this last section that he's trying to impress upon these people that he spent years with, that he loves dearly, that he sent Timothy to minister to. I mean, these are people that he cares so much for and that Jesus died for, and he wants them to know that these are important things, so he uses the word finally. Now, I bet you listen for that, especially during sermons, right? Yeah, that word finally. And whenever a good orator gets up, everybody's always listening for the word finally because they don't want it to end, right? I'm sure that's what you were thinking. They don't want it to end, and they just hate it when they get to finally. Everybody's smiling. I know the truth. Hey, can't put it across on me. But it's amazing because he gets the word finally, and we know that what he's about to say is extremely important. Kind of like your last will and testament. It's something that you want everyone to know. You don't want anyone to miss, and this is what he says. You got this working? There it is. Okay, sorry. My mistake, I turned it off. Well, that was fun. I haven't used this all summer, so I guess it's my fault. I can't. Is it working? Nope. Okay. Oh, it did. Oh, cool. Or is that you, Dave? That's you. Okay. I'll just point in your direction. Here's a good picture. You know, pictures are worth 1,000 words, right? So we just cut off at least 5 minutes. With the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, the rhema, word of God, shoes of the good news of peace with God. So this is what we're going to talk about. Next one. So here's that word that he uses. Finally. And in my Bible, I had circled this. Because whenever finally comes, that is an indication, as I mentioned before, that there's going to be something really important. It's going to conclude everything he's been talking about up until this point. Now, he has just spent from chapter 4 talking about the gifts to the church. He spent chapter 5 talking about a relationship with God, with one another, between husbands and wives, children and parents, right? And now he's in chapter 6 where he's about to end the letter, and he says, finally, and this I had highlighted. And this is one of those places where it was so highlighted I could hardly read it. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Whose strength should we be strong in? His might. If I could teach anyone anything, it would be that we don't have to rely on our might when it comes to dealing with Satan and with the world, with our simple human nature. Do we have to rely on our might? Today we had a business meeting with the church stuff, and I have to be honest with you, and it wasn't because Tom didn't do a wonderful job, but I don't like business meetings. Because I'll tell you why. I know that the church is an organization, but I look at it as an organism. I look at it the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. And I kind of have this attitude, and it may make me less of a good administrator. Oh, I'm not even an administrator, but I mean less of someone who is good at organizing things, because I have this attitude that when things get tough, I say, here, Lord, this is your church. Take it back. It's the Lord's church, isn't it? We're the Lord's church. We're his people. We're his body. We move forward in his strength. We move forward in his might. Now, for the administrative people here, they're saying, yes, Pastor, but that's why we have a good admin board, and we have a board of health. I mean, we are blessed here, okay? I want you to understand that. They take care of these things. But I just want you to understand, we serve a Lord who tells us that we can be strong in him and that he will never let us down, that his might is more amazing than we can ever imagine. So just keep that in mind as we go through these things, because if you don't start there, you might think that I get the results because I put on the armor rather than knowing the... We already got the results. We're already saved. We already have heaven. We already have victory. These are things that were done on the cross. These are things that we live in each day. But what he's saying is, recognize, and this is the next thing. Next slide, please. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. What he's saying is, even though you know you're a child of God, even though you know you have the victory, even though you know when Jesus said it is finished, he meant it, that all of our sins are paid for, it's still our human nature, and they still live in this sinful world, and because of that, we are going to have the enemy whisper into our minds and hearts, whisper into our lives, that he can defeat us. That's why I love the song we used for our confession today, because it talks about the fact that, yes, we do silly things, don't we? We do sinful things. The gospel says we do things that come out of our heart that are wrong. And yet, we can easily concentrate on those things rather than recognizing that a lot of the times it's those things have already been forgiven. If we've asked for it, if we've confessed those things to God, which I don't know about you, but I mean, I start my day with confession. I usually have this long confession of all the things I did. And then I get out of bed and start the day. So it's usually just, you know, I mean, it is, confession is part of our life, right? And if we confess those things, if we say we're sorry to God, if we say we recognize we did these things wrong, doesn't he already forgive us? Aren't we already forgiven? Satan's the one who likes to get in there And he likes to keep us guessing. He likes to keep us, you know, well, okay, you did this. Are you really forgiven for it? When there's consequences for it, are you really forgiven for it? Do consequences for a sin indicate that you're not forgiven of that sin? No. No. Consequences for the sin, just because they linger. I mean, if you commit a crime, you can be forgiven for the crime, but yet you may have to serve in jail, right? Does that mean you weren't forgiven? You're forgiven, but the consequences still linger. So what Satan does is he likes to point out the consequences and say, well, you know, if you were really forgiven, why do you still have these consequences? Any of you experienced that? No? You haven't? Oh, you're so good. I'm ashamed to stand up here. I just changed places with you. But you know, it's amazing because he likes to pick on those things. He likes to make us blush and remember those things that we are already forgiven. Next slide, please. And this is what he says. For, and again, this would be a word that I would underline, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You see, he's giving this kind of broad view of why it's important to hear what he just said. Finally, what are we supposed to know? That our strength comes from who? God. It's his strength. It's his might. It's his power. Because when we wrestle against flesh, when we don't just wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, they don't take prisoners. They're mean. Satan doesn't love any of us. That's what I just can't imagine people that say, well, they're Satanists. And I go, really? You understand that Satan doesn't love you. You understand that, you know, I mean, a lot of times I think it's just a rebellious thing people are going through. Oh, I'm going to be a Satanist. Yeah, right. Oh, whatever. But, you know, what's so interesting is they think that Satan has loyalty. They think that Satan loves. Satan doesn't love. Satan can only hate. And he particularly hates us. Why? What can you have that he can never have? Eternal life, freedom, Christ. You have all those things, don't you? As children of God, you have all those things. He can't have any of them, ever. I think the best thing, the closest thing he can come to what people might think when they say they want to be loyal to him, the closest thing they can come to is envy and jealousy. Not love. Next slide, please. Now, here's a word that whenever you come to this word, just like finally, circle it, because it means something really important is coming. Now, the Bible that I use lets me highlight, but doesn't let me circle. And it's probably a good reason for that, because I would probably circle a lot of things. So electronically, it lets me highlight. But I just think you need to put a bookmark beside these things or something that identifies these things, because this is really important. It says, therefore, after we understand that we already have the victory, right? After we understand that we are walking in his might, right? We're standing by his strength. Once we understand that and we understand who the enemy is and that he has been defeated, that he's like a roaring lion, the Bible says, and he's like a roaring lion, you know, an old roaring lion that the more a lion roars usually means the weaker they are. They try to scare you with their sound. And so he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Be clear here. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. This is important. How are you going to stand? On whose strength are you going to stand? On God's strength. And that you're going to put on this armor, and it's the armor's a gift. It's not you have to so that. It's a result of God's might. It's a result of his grace. It's a result of his presence, his power, his promise. It's a result of us being children of God that we can take this armor. The armor's a gift. You know, when Paul wrote this, he probably was looking at Roman soldiers because he was imprisoned in Rome. He's probably watching Roman soldiers put on their armor. You know, their armor, both their defensive armor and their offensive armor, cost a lot. And they were willing to pay the price because it protected them. And you might get the idea when you talk about the whole armor of God, it's kind of like, well, we have to do this because this is the only way we're going to stay safe. No, we're already saved. We're already safe. But this is just for our protection. This is for us so that our life will be better managed and we will be stronger disciples. That the goal is to stand firm. That's right, isn't it? It's to stand firm. It's to be an example. It's to be able to go forth and show what we have received as children of God. Next slide, please. So he says, again, there's that word, therefore. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. What's interesting about this is an interesting way of saying this, isn't it? Having fastened on the belt of truth. Wouldn't you think he just said put on the whole armor of God that he would say put on the belt of truth? But as a child of God, believing that Jesus Christ is who he said he is, trusting that if he is who he says he is, he can do what he said he would do, believing that we're already children of God and walking in his power as children of God, we already have on the belt of truth, right? We already have the belt. That's interesting. Because it's not like put on the belt. It said, he's saying having fastened on the belt. We receive it in our baptism. It's who we are. We are children of the truth. If we trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation, have we not already received the truth? It's ours. Let's keep going. There's a picture of a belt. I just thought it was kind of interesting. It's not necessarily the kind of belt that we would wear. It's quite interesting, the different types of belts, but they always had a belt and it girded, it was in front of you. So it was meant to protect you, protect important parts. Let's keep going. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Again, having put on. It's almost, for Paul, it's really important to understand that he sees these things as being part of who we are as Christians. It's not something that we have to go out after we get, it's kind of like, okay, we become Christians, and now we have to go out and buy the armor. It's not like that, is it? Do you hear what he's saying? And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. He says at the beginning, put it on. Okay, it's there. It's okay. Now that we put it on, he says, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. What does that mean? The breastplate. What does the breastplate protect? Our heart. Our lungs. That's really important. Again, these are defensive, right? The belt is defensive. The breastplate is defensive. Keep going. Put a picture in there just in case you were wondering. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Think about that. As shoes for your feet. Now we walk around and it's kind of cold here. How many of you walk around during the winter time in sandals? I know there's a few of you, right? I've seen you. I know there's a few of you, okay? You're crazy! But you're bold, okay? You're making a statement. But you know, we are told that shoes are important, right? Shoes are important. And when we go out, we are going to be protected by having shoes. And so when we walk, before we step, each step, we should know what is the foundation. What are we walking? What is keeping us from feeling the ground beneath us and the sharp stones and whatever else is on the ground, glass, whatever we may come up against, what is it? And the shoes for our feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, when we know the peace that passes all understanding, when we know we have a place in heaven forever, when we know Jesus died for us and has won the victory, when we know that he has crushed Satan under his feet, there's an illustration of a shoe, right? Crushed Satan under his feet, should we not walk in the peace of and the knowledge that we have all we need, and even more? Keep going. Did you skip the shoes? And we're there. Oh, there they are. See, there's shoes. Well, sandals, whatever. Those are the ones the soldiers wore. Okay, keep going. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. The ultimate defensive mechanism, right? If you ever watched any movies with Roman soldiers, you know that the shields were used in multiple different ways, right? The shield of faith was used to protect you, but also when put together, create a wall. If you ever watch these movies, when they're going up against a wall to defend themselves, they'll often put the shields above them and the shields before them and the shields behind them. They make basically a tank out of their shields. It's pretty remarkable if you think about it. That's why it's so important, and again, you've been hearing this every week, it's so important that we live life as people of God together, right? As a faith family, as a community, as the body of Christ, because when you put those shields together, you can create an impenetrable wall, a defense against Satan's arrows. Certainly one man with a shield or one woman with a shield can do the defensive things, but I'll tell you, when you put the shields together, it's impressive. Why do we need to be together? Why is it hard to be a Lone Ranger Christian? Because it's hard to defend yourself with just your own shield. When you have multiple people standing together with their shields together, you can create an amazing defense, encouraging and lifting one another up. Next one, please. With which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And the next slide shows some darts that he might throw at us. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life, leaving things undone, financial troubles, health difficulties, loss, etc. And take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Again, what does the helmet protect? The brain, our mind, right? So we have the breastplate of righteousness that protects our heart. We have the helmet of salvation that protects our mind. Let's keep going. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is very important. The Rhema, the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. We have the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we in this church believe the Bible to be 100% true. It's our offensive weapon. Next one. And the sword, go back. And the sword, I couldn't help but throw in this passage from Hebrews 4, verse 12, says, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So it's extremely important. And then finally, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Keep going. Here's another example where St. Paul tells the Philippian church, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Remember what he said? He said we'd have that peace. And so prayer is extremely important. If I could encourage you to do anything, it would be to spend time in the Word daily and to pray daily. Finally, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So what? Well, you have the armor. It's yours as a gift. Put it on daily. Recognize the enemy. Recognize the defensive armor, the belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the helmet, the sword, the offensive weapon, the sword, which is the Word of God, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and prayer. And when we are on a journey that Satan does not want us to take, let us be prepared. Let us know who we are in Christ, and let us move forward with boldness, putting on the armor daily. Yep. Amen. Exactly. Great. Okay. Announcements.